Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. January 10, 2022. The word love is understandable in all languages. Question: why is it important to annul myself in order to come to love between us? Answer: I think we can also understand this from what we feel in our world, in our relationships with each other. How can I love another if I love myself? It is impossible. The expression of love is only when you take the quality of the other, his desire, his life, as your own above yourself, and exist in order to do everything that he desires. There is no other definition of love but integrating with the desires of the other in order to fulfill them. Everything else is an absolutely unrealistic expression: I love you. No. Give me a concrete, material definition. Our world is built on desires. What should I do with my desire and with the desire of the other? What states should I create between us that will be called love? Only to direct all my qualities to fill and to satisfy the other, this is called that I love him. This is a clear manifestation, an expression of my attitude toward him. This is why we are all created in the will to receive. If I put the will to receive of another person above my own in order to fulfill him, then it is called that I love him. There is no other material, clear, pure definition, that can even be fixed over time, to measure to what extent we sacrifice ourselves for the sake of the other. There are levels in this self-sacrifice where then how much I do not just do something for the sake of the other, but rise above myself in spite of myself, and everything I would do for myself I do for him. This attitude, when you place the other person above yourself, is called love. You can find other words: inclusion, conjugation, commutation, but the simplest one between people and in all languages is love. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022, Approaching the Creator Through the Network of Connections Between Us, Lesson 1. My new article on LinkedIn: what happens when everything is skin deep? When you do not see the person beyond the skin, you do not see the person. Instead of worrying about who people are, they need to think about how they feel about each other. When you look at today's American society and the ideas it is trying to install in people's minds, you realize that something is seriously wrong with it. When under the guise of liberalism, one can determine one's gender identity according to what one feels inside, without even undergoing any medical procedure, and, according to ACLU, government agencies that serve the public cannot stop you from using the restroom or other sex-segregated facility that matches your gender identity, or ask you to provide ID to prove your gender in order to use a restroom or other sex-segregated facility, things cannot go right. It is simply not natural. But it isn't only gender identity issues that plague American society. The obsessive occupation with identity politics leaves no room in people's hearts and minds to actually see the human beings behind the categories where we place them. The preoccupation with people's skin and identity started a long time ago, but it accelerated over the past decade or so. Along with the intensification of the ego, various distortions of society overtook common sense. Take the participation of transgenders in women's sports, for example. In the name of transgender rights, women's rights are being crushed and trampled. I don't see how this can end well. I have no magic formula to cure this situation, but it seems to me that one of America's problems is that it never experienced a revolution. Not in the real sense of the word. I am not referring to a revolution like the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 Russia. In those days, the Russians were completely unprepared for a revolution and the results were accordingly miserable. Rather, when I speak of a revolution, I mean an ideological transformation that the entire nation undergoes. Take the French Revolution, for example, or similar processes that took place in England or Germany, in various forms, and you will see what I mean. If you cannot go beyond skin deep, It leaves you with nothing but obsession about people's skin color. This attitude then radiates to every aspect of people's lives. Instead of thinking about connecting with others, they focus on power over others, which makes them obsess over wealth and power. This is why America's God is the dollar. In order to grow, people's hearts must be shaken to the core. Their values must be challenged and they must rethink everything they think is right. Changes may be frightening, but they are an inseparable part of maturation. Once people learn to see reality from more than just one angle, they develop a more serious and moderate attitude to life, and especially to other people. Otherwise, their worldview remains unchanged, unchallenged, and they cannot think about anything other than superficial, and divisive, labels or accruing wealth in order to gain power, not realizing that beyond the provision of necessities, more money will not make them happier. In the end, excessive power makes people lonely, and loneliness makes people sad. This contradicts life's purpose, which is to be happy. Therefore, I think it is time for America to go back to the basics. People need to be who they are because they are fine the way they are. Instead of worrying about who they are, they need to think only about how they feel about each other. My new article on LinkedIn, Mutual Responsibility, the Foundation of Society. Today's society worships the ego. Everyone who is someone shows himself in the most egocentric way. This is true of social media icons as it is true of sports stars, pop stars, politicians, and even money moguls. However, a society that worships selfishness undermines the very meaning of the term society. For a society to exist, it must focus on the social rather than on the individual. If it focuses on the latter, it will disintegrate, which is what we are seeing around the world today. Social relations can exist only when all the parties recognize that they have a mutual benefit from each other that they cannot achieve on their own. The benefit must be big enough for them to relinquish some of their independence in return for greater rewards, such as greater chances of survival, better child rearing, or solidified economic prosperity. For this reason, a society whose idols are those who contribute to the cohesion of society strengthens itself and the well-being of its members. Conversely, a society that idolizes people who focus on themselves and often act against the interests of society pulls the rug out from under itself. Such a society will collapse sooner or later since it fails to meet the most basic requirement of a society, mutual responsibility. Once a group of people has established a basic level of mutual responsibility, it can begin to build more complex structures such as clans, cities, and nations. The higher the level of mutual responsibility in society, the more it can grow and expand. Nevertheless, it is a challenge to maintain mutual responsibility because human egoism is not static, but is constantly evolving. Therefore, cultivating mutual responsibility must be a constant task for society. Otherwise, it will collapse. Since we have neglected this for many decades now, we are witnessing an increasing degree of disintegration and dissolution in society. Humanity has reached a crossroads. It can continue to avoid cultivating mutual responsibility in order to rise above the growing ego, or it can return to cultivating it until it becomes stronger than the current level of egoism. If it chooses the latter, it will achieve such a level of cohesion that people will stop feeling separated from each other. They will reach a new level of closeness, as if they were inseparable in their hearts, in their souls. Once they achieve that level, the struggles among people that we see today will become internal struggles, where people grapple with their own egoism, which separates them from society. People will attain a completely different level of perception. They will experience oneness on levels they never thought existed. This is where the current struggle between egoism and mutual responsibility is leading, and it will end in one of two ways, unity or war. The most complete property. The property of bestowal is the most complete, independent, and highest property that can be manifested in our state. Therefore, if we wish to achieve connection with the Creator, we must master this property, the property of bestowal. But in order to learn to understand this property, to feel it, to grade it, to somehow give it all kinds of names, we must cultivate all kinds of communication with each other. And in order to let us understand what types of connection are possible between us, in order to develop ourselves each and every one, we are created in a society of opposites, men and women. We need to come to a state where, above all the egoistic rejections that the Creator specially made, opposed to the property of bestowal, we must come closer to such a mutual connection, which would be called love of our neighbor. And this is called love when you begin to perceive the other not only as yourself, but above yourself, when he becomes more important to you than yourself. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022, Approaching the Creator Through the Network of Connections Between Us, Lesson 1. To help each other to attain the Creator. Question: we have been talking for more than a year about bestowal and to bestow upon any person or the Creator. Now it feels like we are at the starting point of the path. I would like all of us to understand this concept of bestowal in the same way, otherwise a discrepancy will begin, and the further we go the more it will grow. What kind of bestowal are we talking about? What is it? In material terms, I can give each friend 100 rubles and everything will be fine, but what are we talking about? Answer: we are talking about helping each of us. And help can only be in helping to reach the Creator. And we can reach the Creator only when we are united together in the most assembled kli, vessel, with as many parts together as possible, with the strongest possible connection between all parts. That's what we have to do. But one cannot do without the other in any way. We cannot reveal the Creator within ourselves. I can only reveal him in a good connection between myself and a friend. When we relate to each other in some way similar to the Creator's quality, then we reveal him. Therefore, in order to reveal the Creator, someone else is needed besides me, a person with whom I will have such a mutual relationship that I will treat him as the Creator treats us. In principle, we have to do this. Therefore, our work is purely practical. Studying will in no way replace it for us. We should simply change our relationships and make them more similar to the qualities of the Creator. Then we will be called man, Adam, from the word Adam, similar to the Creator. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022, Approaching the Creator Through the Network of Connections Between Us, Lesson 1. No thought of himself. Question: our sources say that the Creator has no thought of himself. How can we understand this? Answer: this means that the Creator has no idea that he is doing good to others, only good without any control, without any recompense for himself. Question: if we imagine the Creator as nature, then we can somewhat understand. Nature has no thought about itself, it is only radiating, developing, the entire creation. But those who attained the Creator describe it in such language as if the Creator is also selfish, he wants us to work for him. Why? Answer: relative to us, the Creator is like a parent in relation to a child. It also seems to a child that his parents are great egoists, but they think only about his welfare. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, December 14, 2021. Michael Leitman, on Quora: what would happen to the Jews in Israel if it became Palestine again? This question was discussed at the Promise of the Hereafter conference that took place recently in Gaza. The conference's attendees spoke of the disappearance of the State of Israel as a historic event that would take place in a few years, and the conference's discourse centered on how to deal with the Jews that would remain in the land after Palestine's liberation. First, why is the question of eliminating the Jewish state a desirable topic for a conference? It is because we Jews have yet to learn who we truly are, and instead of realizing our roots, to come together in common love and connection, we relate to each other divisively and egoistically. While we behave as a divided people, then our enemies see it possible to make us disappear from the world. Until we realize the need to change ourselves, to know what our purpose, role and obligation is in the world, to positively connect with each other in order to bring about a new, harmonious and peaceful world, then the world will feel us, increasingly as the root of their problems, relating increasingly negatively toward us. Therefore, if we emphasized our becoming a united nation that acts as a positive example of unity, care and love, and which projects positive connection, harmony and peace throughout humanity, then the discussion about us would shift. Instead of talking about how to deal with the Jews in a liberated Palestine, people would instead discuss how to reach the kinds of positive, harmonious and peaceful relations that the Jews project. Based on the video What Would Happen to Israel's Jews If Israel Ceased to Exist? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Ron Levi. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. What can change an individual? Question: why does one individual feel others more while another only feels himself? Answer: it depends on the root of the soul. There is nothing we can do here, since it was set initially. I do not see that humanity can correct itself. Day after day we slide off the former framework, it is getting worse and worse, and that is taken for granted even though a couple of years ago it seemed terrible to us. But if a person begins to engage in his perfection with the help of Kabbalah, that is, if he invokes a certain force of nature that created him, then it also changes him. During life we can somehow limit ourselves and be afraid of something, but in principle we do not change. And Kabbalah proposes to develop a person so that he feels free in his changes. You need to bring a person to a state where you give him complete freedom, do what you want, but at the same time he becomes an absolutely useful, perfect element of society. Kabbalah is set with this goal. That's why it exists. To bring a person to love for his neighbor, all issues are resolved by this. If he treats others as himself and at the same time rises to the level of the Creator, the most perfect force of nature, then he does not need any judges. He is his own judge, his own guard. From CapTV's close-up. Presumption of Innocence, March 10, 2010. Legal code does not help. Question: there are two legal systems in the world now. One originated in ancient Rome and is called codified law, and the entire list of crimes with maximum and minimum sanctions are clearly established in it. The second system is what is called judicial precedent, when a certain case once took place in history and the judge makes a decision based on it. But neither system is successful because crime is growing all the time. Why does crime continue to grow despite the fact that the legal system is evolving? Answer: I understand lawyers. They are trying to somehow put society in order with the help of laws, restrictions, punishments, and rewards. This is the system of governance of society where it transcends the framework it set for itself. However, this is all temporary and conditional because we are changing the framework too. What used to seem like a great crime is now considered the norm. Whatever is accepted by society as something ordinary you can no longer treat as a special crime. The principle of Roman law does not work today at all. We cannot take their directions and treat a modern person according to them. Look at how all values, attitudes to life, and attitudes to misconduct change from generation to generation. Therefore, this whole system, of course, also needs constant change. But if we were in some kind of general consensus, we would understand which changes to accept as the norm and which not to accept. Once it was believed that if someone spat at a distance of 5 meters from me, he insulted me. I would challenge him to a duel, kill him, and everyone would think I am a hero. Now there is no such framework. Who sets the framework for each level, for each person? Besides, by nature we are completely different in our inherent properties. What is easy for one person to accomplish can be very difficult for another, and vice versa. There are people who try to fulfill the social framework and want to be on good terms with others. And this framework, this code, exists within them. This is not so for the others. It is very difficult for them to agree with this. They have such an inner excitement that they do not feel others existing on par with them, but only below them. The attitude to the world, to life, is so different for everyone that the establishment of a legal code and system of punishments does not take into account the person himself. No matter how hard a judge tries, he cannot perceive it. He does not understand the inner essence of a person, his natural inclinations, his genes, and does not take into account his upbringing and what happened to him during his formation. This is why we do more harm than good in this system. Yet there is no solution. Kabbalah says if we want to evaluate a person correctly, we should evaluate him only through his soul. And who can do it? Until our world reaches the spiritual level, when we all begin to feel the connection between each other in our souls, it will be uncorrected and ugly, and we will disfigure it more and more with the help of this supposedly just system of governance, the system of reward and punishment. From CabTV's Close Up, Presumption of Innocence, April 27, 2010.